Welcome back. My name is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Thank God for His grace, and I thank God for His mercy. And grateful to be alive, grateful to be clean. And it's kind of chilly in here, but that's okay. You know, I've been in worse places and worse times, and I'm grateful that I can feel today. You know, this program has definitely awakened my spirit. Before I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't feel anything good. Didn't feel happiness, didn't feel joy, didn't feel freedom. I want to congratulate the Westchester area on their very first convention. I hope this is the beginning of many more. I know it's very difficult and challenging and stressful to put on a convention, so I really applaud people who do service. Service is for those we serve. And I'm grateful to be here. It's an honor and privilege to be asked to speak at any Narcotics Anonymous meeting. So I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful to be clean. You know, when I got up this morning, my spirit told me to call my sponsor, you know, and I've learned to follow my spirit, because the spirit never lies and the spirit never dies. And I called my sponsor just to get his input. You know, this is not the first time that I've shared in this setting before, but I don't want anyone to think that I got this, that I have arrived, that I know everything, that I can't learn anything. I'm still learning from people with one day clean, you know. So I'm just grateful that I'm teachable today. I'm grateful that if I make a mistake, I can admit it. Don't have to lie about it. You know, I don't have to manipulate people. I don't have to blame the disease all the time. You know, I can just be myself. You know, humility is just being myself. And, you know, steps 8 and 9 are so important because, you know, for me, like, I never felt peace growing up. Never felt peace. I always felt alone, always felt condemned, always felt dirty, always felt empty and inferior. I always felt lonely. I always felt manipulated and rejected. I always felt unworthy and just like my life had no meaning. You know, I felt alienated from people. You know, alienated from my own family, isolated from society. I felt separated from reality. My feelings are not my friends. My feelings are not my friends. So I had to learn to come in here through the example of the fellowship and tell the truth about how I'm feeling, which is a foreign concept to me. I lied through my whole life. And it was normal. It was normal to lie, cheat, steal, manipulate, prostitute. You know, I was a bum with an image, 125 pounds, homeless, jobless, and penniless. And it was normal to not eat, bathe, and sleep. It was normal to piss in a cup. It was normal to go to McDonald's and steal the toilet paper so I can save that 50 cents for a country club beer or two loose cigarettes. You know, and I'm grateful I don't have to live like that. But Narcotics Anonymous has given me a life worth living. And, you know, I do have a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor and a Narcotics Anonymous home group. And when I'm in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, I speak Narcotics Anonymous language. That's important to me because we are separate and distinct from any other fellowship. You know, I read Narcotics Anonymous literature. You know, and even though my spirituality may take me different places at different times, when I'm in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, I talk about the steps and traditions and concepts of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, that's what I do. Now, I try not to impose my values on other people. That's a daily challenge because I'm very self-righteous. You know, very self-righteous. And it bothers me some of the things that I hear sometimes when I go to meetings. And so I have to continue to just keep praying. You know, because this is the problem of prayer and action. And if I don't pray before I act, I will act like I don't pray.
That's right.
You know, so it's important for me to keep getting in touch with my spirit and not let anybody deter me. You know, when I would come to meetings and it was only a few people like it is now, I would leave the meeting, not knowing that I had a reservation. But y'all told me, don't leave before the miracle happens. And I would leave the meeting and go pick up, you know. And, you know, thank God I surrendered. My clean date is May 20, 1995. And, you know, I don't want to use drugs anymore. I really don't. And, you know, I've been through the steps a few times. And, you know, I still have the same defects of character. You know, and I think the difference is that I can see me coming before I see me running. You know, like, I have so much awareness now, so much information, and so much willingness. And also, pain is a teacher. Pain is a spiritual teacher. Pain will get your attention. You know, and something about my self-inflicted pain, you know, that really makes me not feeling good about myself on the inside at times when I really have to, like, call my sponsor, read the literature, say a prayer, do some writing, you know, talk to a newcomer, do something different. Recovery means doing things differently. And sometimes I don't know how to stop myself from hurting myself. I really don't. You know, sometimes I can get out the way, but I can't stay out the way. You know, so thank God for the 8th step, you know, so I can get peace with the other people in my life, because before I got here, my attitude was, if you hurt me, you owe me. Yeah. That was my attitude. So all my harm was always in my mind. It was justified. It was hard for me to separate what you did to me from what I did to you, because I always felt justified. You know, I was abused and damaged and scarred and traumatized as a child. And I never talked about it until I got here and heard y'all talk about those things. And I would use those events to trigger, you know, my hatred and shame and terror and hurt other people. So the way people hurt me, I would hurt them back. Because it was always about revenge. You know, and today, like, I've learned that, well, actually, an old-timer told me a long time ago. He said, the best revenge is a life well lived. So that's what I want to do. I want to live a principle-centered life. You know, I'm 51 years old. I have a lot of health issues that you cannot see. And it's really important for me to continue to take care of my body, mind, and spirit. You know, so the 8th step is so important. I'm trying to get to it because I know I don't have a lot of time. And, you know, I really think it's impossible to share on 8, 9, or 25 minutes. But I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my best, you know. The 8th step is not an amend. It is not an amend, right? There's two parts to the 8th step from what I've learned, and that's to make a list and become willing. How did I become willing? I made a list, right? I made a list in the spirit of compassion. Never felt compassion until I got here. I made a list in the spirit of empathy, understanding, tolerance, in the spirit of faith and humility, right? And I brought, you know, I brought some literature. It works town-wide because in the 8th step, the word must is used several times. Because NA is a program of suggestions, and there's some things that we must do. So it says that most of us have fairly vivid imaginations, but this is not the time to get ahead of ourselves. We must avoid projections, either negative or positive, about actually making our amends. It says perhaps we haven't truly forgiven that person yet and find we are very reluctant to put her or his name on a list. However, we must. We must let go of our resentments and focus on our partner conflicts in our lives. There's a couple more musts in here. It says our recovery is at stake. If we want to continue with our recovery, we must make amends. It says our commitment to recovery includes becoming ready to go as far as we must. So those are musts, now, and musts are like non-negotiable, right? So I'm not the addict who only gonna do 1, 2, and 3. That's not gonna help me enough. I need all 12 steps, 12 traditions, and 12 concepts on an ongoing basis, you know? Because at any given moment, I can hurt myself or somebody else. And, you know, my sponsor told me that the more I live this step, the less harm I will cause to people, and I'll cause more harm to myself. Right? I'm not intentionally making life miserable for other people or myself. Not intentionally, you know. Sometimes I'll say things before I think because I'm impulsive. You know, I could call it sarcasm, but it's really insensitive. It's really unkind. I'm in a business meeting and now I want to assassinate your character because you've been here for a couple decades and you haven't done any step work. You know, so my arrogance will come out. And I don't like that about me when I'm arrogant, you know. And so I have to go to that person, not to the whole group, right? I don't want to do it in front of 25 people and get 25 opinions, right, which will give me 25 resentments, you know. I go to that person, you know, I was wrong. I was wrong. I apologize. Will you forgive me? Right? They may say yes or no. They may tell me that, you know, they may call me anything but a child of God, you know. But that's what I have to do. You know, so I had to make a list, and on my list was everybody in my family, my mother, my father, my three brothers, my three sisters, nieces and nephews, co-workers, classmates, neighbors, drug dealers, landlords, a lot of financial amends. I had a lot of debt when I got clean, a lot of debt. Thank God, you know, I'm less than $4,000 in debt today. You know, and that's only through grace and mercy and working and living the steps. And next to each person or institution, my sponsor asked me to put down the character defect that I acted out on, whether it was greed or selfishness or dishonesty, whether it was arrogance, you know, whatever it was, mental anguish. You know, I caused a lot of harm to my parents. Parents were good people, hardworking, law-abiding, tax-paying citizens, and I harmed them a lot. You know, and it really bothers me how much I harm my parents. And, you know, thank God through the process, you know, we were able to cultivate a relationship that was valuable. You know, and so I had to put them down. And then I had to put down the type of harm that was appropriate to the type of amend that was appropriate to the type of harm that I caused. So, for example, if I owe you $1,000, I pay you back $1,000. But in my mind, I want to pay you back $1,500 so you'll forget everything that I did to you. And that's manipulation. It's a very subtle form of manipulation. So I needed a sponsor to help me with these things, you know. So, you know, I made a list, and like I said, I've done this a few times. And the first time, you know, I went looking for people. I did this all wrong. I thought it was a shopping list, you know, and because there were people in the fellowship that I had caused harm to. And, you know, things like gossiping, like nobody in this room does, you know. Because this is the most spiritual room in Narcotics Anonymous. So, you know, nobody in here gossips or character assassinates or, you know, beats people up with traditions at the business and policy. Y'all don't do that. Y'all don't sexually exploit the newcomer. You know, y'all don't lie about your clean time. Y'all don't do that, you know. Y'all don't have 25 sponsees with 3 steps, you know. So, you know, I had to, like, take a look at my character, because these are building character steps. You know, my character is being built, but at the same time, I have a disease that wants to tear me down. So there's that conflict, right? I never learned how to identify conflict, much less resolve conflict, till I got here and listened to y'all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I live in Harlem. And I live between Crack Avenue and Heroin Drive. And every day I have to avoid people, places, and things. You know, every day. Because, you know, when I was using drugs, I was a loyal customer. You know, if you were selling, I was buying. And today I'm not a customer. Today I'm a recovering addict. You know, today I have some integrity. You know, today nobody can take away my awakened spirit. Because the eighth step is a continuing of the awakening of the spirit. Every time I work a step with my sponsor, I wake my spirit up just a little bit more. I become more and more aware, more alert, more alive, more free. You know, I get some joy, some relief, some happiness. Also, you know, I still have some fears about, you know, telling people the truth. You know, and it talks about in the ninth step how we can't let fear, pride, and procrastination get in the way. And it works how and why. In the ninth step, there's a lot of musts in the ninth step, and it works out why. It says, now we must do everything we can to repair the harm we've caused. It says, we must be willing to follow through regards to the potential outcome. We must be courageous when we work this step. But we must go on with making our amends. We must let go of any expectations we have on how our amends will turn out and leave the results to the God of our understanding. We must set our hurt feelings aside. It says, an opportunity to make amends may present itself years later on, even years later. In the meantime, we must remain willing to make those amends. It says, we must somehow learn to live with, it says, our actions may have left permanent physical or emotional scars or even caused someone's death. We must learn how to live with such things. It says, we must become more considerate, sensitive, and attentive to the needs of others. So the word must is all over the steps, man. So even though we give people suggestions, there's some things that we must do. And, you know, just recently, like one of my nieces, who I love dearly, who lives in Chicago, where I was born and raised, she sent me a text. And her text basically said, you know, I dislike the fact that you sent me all these pictures about how happy, joyous, and free you are, but you neglected my birthday. And you're supposed to be my favorite uncle. You know, and I was really grateful that she had the courage to tell me the truth about how she was feeling. That she's not going to harbor resentment until she gets 65 years old, like other people in my family. Because resentments can lead to strokes, heart attacks, you know what I mean? Like your emotional and physical health. You know, so, you know, then she sent me another text that says, are you coming home to grandma's birthday party? So she has forgiven me, because I did call her back, and I said, you know, I apologize. I got CRS. I can't remember shit. I really can't. And that's not an excuse. It's reality. My short-term memory is getting shorter by the moment. Tell me your name. 5 minutes, I walk away. I can't remember. And you just told me. I'm talking about today. Today, man. So like, you know, and she don't know that about me. And she ain't got to. Right? I just have to keep my side of the street clean. Right? I'm talking about my spiritual side. Right? I need to keep my spirit clean and pure. Because I've caused harm in recovery. Sexual harm. Emotional harm. Financial harm. Right? I'm talking about, man, having credit cards. I had a credit card and the limit was $1,000, but I thought it said $10,000. Oh my God. You know, and so I went shopping. Like, I remember telling myself, I'm going to go shopping for my birthday. Mm-hmm. Right? I shopped for the whole month. Mm-hmm. Didn't pay my rent. Mm-hmm. No food in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. But I come to a meeting, I'm looking real fly. Mm-hmm. Not talking about how I'm feeling.
Right, right.
And to a newcomer shares the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. I was able to get with him. Tell him what I was going through. Free myself. And like, stop. You know what I mean? Because a new outfit can't waken my spirit. You know, and there's nothing wrong with looking good, buying new clothes, but I don't need to be in Macy's when my rent is due. So today I pay all my bills online, on time, every month. I look forward to being responsible. And I'm talking about somebody who right now is on disability. I live on $1,100 a month. And I'm happy. I feel really good, right? I don't bounce checks anymore. I used to bounce checks like the Knicks. When was the last time they won the finals? So I was always in trouble, man. $35 here, $35 there. Because I never had the patience and the perseverance to sit down and balance my checkbook. Because I didn't value money. Because I didn't value myself. You know, so I had to learn how to value my life. And it was because of my sponsor. My sponsor has an attractive, healthy relationship with money. I thought money was for spending. So I was always spending money, always in debt, always in my head, always stressed out. You know, got no more T-cells, still spending money. So one day I asked my sponsor, I said, how do you save money? He said, stop spending it. That went right over my head. Went right over my head. But that's what I've learned how to do. That's how I got to the World Convention in San Diego. I saved some money. And now I want to go to Brazil. 2015, the World Convention. If it's God's will for me and my will for myself, I'm saving money, $150 a month. That's what I'm talking about, commitment, discipline, sacrifice. Right? Those are the principles of the ninth step. You know, having some love for yourself, being able to forgive people, being able to forgive the man who raped me when I was a child. I was able to forgive him because I had to forgive myself for molesting my sister when I was a kid. Right? Talking about things I would never tell anybody. So like, I don't have any secrets. I have shortcomings. No secrets. There's nothing I'm doing that somebody don't know about. But I don't have to tell the whole damn fellowship. That's not honesty. That's manipulation. That's insanity. That's ego. Right? Why do I want everybody in the fellowship to know how I'm living? So I have a sponsor. I have a God. I have a home. I'm not saying that I'm keeping secrets or lying. I'm just saying I've learned how to, you know, check my motives. You know what I mean? To check my motives. Am I seeking the attention of the group? Right? Do I want y'all to think I'm this wonderful person? Do I want y'all to think I have recovered? You know what I mean? Not today, man. You know, the ninth step is about being free. Free from self-bondage. You know, and making amends, either directly or indirectly, is an ongoing lifetime process. There are certain people that I hurt that have died. So my sponsor said, Mark, this is my suggestion. You say a prayer, you write them a letter, right? And you make a commitment to never hurt people the way you hurt them. Have I been successful all the time? No. I'm human, right? Sixth step says we will wander off course, right? But what I do is I make a commitment to change my behavior, because if I don't change my behavior, I will change my clean date. And I know that by traveling the country, right? My clean time is not keeping me clean. I'm really clear about that. And I'm grateful for my time. But I want to have a clean spirit. I want to wake up in the morning knowing that I didn't hurt you because of how I was feeling about myself. Right? Because when I got here, man, I didn't have coping skills. I had copping skills. All I had, man. And I could always find that if I went to Alaska, I can find some drugs. I'm an addict, you know. But today, you know, I make meetings and not excuses. I'll go anywhere for Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I'm a long way from 125th Street, you know. And took the Metro North, took a cab. I'm here. No complaints. I didn't bribe somebody to take me here. I did ask a few people, but they weren't available. Right. You know, about 3 years ago, my 80-year-old father died of lung cancer. He had Alzheimer's and dementia. And a couple months before God called him home, I went to Chicago, spent a week with him. You know, I was with him every day. It was just me and him. And, you know, the last day I was there, I could hear God say to me, "Mark, I'm going to call your father home. Can't tell you what day, can't tell you what time, but it's going to happen sooner than later." Mm-hmm. And so when I got the call 2 months later, my spirit was prepared. I didn't go to the bar or the crack house or the shooting gallery, you know what I mean, or the Popeye's chicken. You know what I mean? I called my sponsor first. Real demonstration of sanity. My sponsor said, "Mark, just be there for your family, you know." And I was able to do that. I actually wrote the eulogy for my father, you know, and that's a direct amends. And it's also a way for me to show my family that you don't have to hire somebody and pay them $1,000 to write no damn eulogy, you know. So I did that from my heart. But I still have aunts who still hate him from the 60s. So at the funeral, they were dissing my eulogy, making comments while I'm up there speaking. Talk about prayer, man. I had to pray for tolerance. Oh my God. These are my aunts. I thought we was cool. But you know, it's something about resentments. Resentments can stay with you longer than you want them to. Okay, thank you. So, you know, I got the sign to wrap it up, you know, and I hope I was able to help somebody. You know, this program is so awesome that, you know, that I'm here sharing my experience, but I get from the program. I get from the group, right? My experience comes from the program, and my strength comes from God, and my hope comes from the fellowship, a spiritual fellowship of men and women whose assets I seek to emulate. I'm always looking for inspiration from the fellowship. Can you help me grow spiritually? Are you willing to tell the truth about how you feel about yourself today, not when you first came around? Because this ain't a when I first came around program. It's a just for today program. I don't give a fuck about St. Mark's anymore. It's a co-op. Let it go. It was 10 years ago, man. Can we talk about the means that are going on today that need support? So, I know that sounded kind of hostile, but that's how I feel sometimes, man. Because we love to get nostalgic in Narcotics Anonymous about the good old days. Oh, it's not the same fellowship.
Right.
Well, maybe if you would change, you know. People get mad because we don't take out the newcomer to the diner. You take the newcomer out to the diner. You know? Thanks for letting me share.
Our next speaker is John S. from Westchester. On tradition, 8 and 9.
Greetings, family. My name is John. I'm a stone addict in the process of recovery.
Hi, John.
Hi, everybody. First things first, all praise to my higher power. I choose to call the way because he makes a way out of no way. Made a way for me to stop smoking that garbage. Made a way for all of us to be here. And for that, we were all blessed. I'd like to welcome the newcomer and those just coming back, because we can only keep this precious gift of recovery by giving it away. I'd like to give congratulations on the courage and the character of the members that it took to open this Westchester area convention of Narcotics Anonymous the first time. I've been praying for this since I went to my very first convention at Bowackna 1, back up in Tarrytown. So I'm grateful I stayed long enough. My topics today are traditions 8 and 9. I want to thank the member that shared before me, Brother Mark from Harlem. He gave a clear message of hope from the 8th and 9th step, taking care of your side of the street. Talked about the willingness, talked about the courage, you know, talked about the perseverance that it takes to continue on in this process. What I like to do is read some of the literature from the Works High and Why, give me a better understanding and better give me a clear message of hope. So Tradition 8 talks about Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. It says here, Narcotics Anonymous, we have no patients, only members. Our groups do not provide professional, therapeutic, medical, legal, or psychiatric services. The heart of the NA way of recovery from addiction is one addict helping another. We have no certified Narcotics Anonymous counselors. Our varied experiences and recoveries from drug addiction are all the credentials we need. We do not sell recovery. We share it freely with others in the spirit of love and gratitude. Our members are not paid a salary for their 12-step work, nor do our groups charge any fees or dues for carrying the NA message. Basically, what that talks about is like, there are no professional Narcotics Anonymous members. We're just simple members. Hustlers, gamblers, burglars, scramblers, pickpockets, peddlers, panhandlers, liars, cheaters, beaters, breeders, and bottom feeders. And I raise my hand because I know I'm somewhere in that gumbo too. And that's just the truth. You know, there's nothing, nobody honorable came, didn't have anything to get up in here. There's no, I haven't seen anybody with a halo. I haven't seen nobody with any feathers on their back. You know, I know I did some dirt, you know, just to get here. And I'm grateful I did get here because I really had no intentions on stopping. I need to share that too, man. I'm like, I had no intentions on stopping. The special workers they talked about are people that perform service here in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, there are no, like I said, there are no professional sponsors. There's no professional H&I members. There's nobody that has like a degree in P&I. You know, they're not, we don't take somebody from our group. We may elect somebody from our group to perform some public information to a facility that we may want to expand in. I know in my area, in the Mount Vernon area, Westchester, there was a meeting that was dying, and it was looking for a new location. And we lost our place in one area, in one location, because of the behavior of the addicts. And as we were looking for other locations, we had to have some, one member had to go out and step out on faith and present to this new facility our primary purpose. You know, we had to present ourselves as recovering addicts, of proper people, you know, productive, responsible, productive members of society. I always found that it was very important to prove that, because there was always that lie, once an addict, always an addict. You know, can't stop, won't stop, can't stop, won't stop. You know, that's always been a part of my story. You know, I remember my favorite line when I was using was always, oh man, I was high at the time. Oh man, we were supposed to go to the movies. Oh man, I was high at the time. Oh man, you were supposed to come to work today. Oh man, I was high at the time. Oh man, we were supposed to hook up the lady. You know, like, oh man, I'm high at the time. You know, so I was always high at the time. That was my thing. I just wanted to stay nice. I don't know if anybody can identify nice, but I just wanted to stay nice. I didn't even want to get high. You know, by carrying our clear message of hope, by one addict helping another, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another proved itself in my life when I first came around. The brother that I asked to sponsor me, the first event I went to in Narcotics Anonymous was a Thanksgiving marathon in 1997. And a brother was speaking on faith in the midst of a storm. And after he finished sharing, I asked him to sponsor me. And he says, he gave me a simple suggestion. Here's my number. Call me every day. We talk about things. See, because this is a day at a time program. But I've also found out that a day at a time also means every day for me. You know, I called my sponsor and I called him every day and we talked about things. He says, you don't have to call me on Sunday because you'll see me in the meeting on Sunday. And that's the same principles I've had for over 14 years. You know, I call my sponsor Monday through Friday, every Monday through Friday. Saturday, I see him in the meeting. Sunday, I give him to God and I pray that God keeps him. You know, and that's just as clear as I can carry it. You know, but the brother that I asked to sponsor me, me and him had like nothing in common. You know what I mean? And like I smoked crack and he shot dope. Actually, he shot speedballs. You know, he had done a few years in the penal system. I mean, for me, 2 days was too much. You know, he had family and obligations, and I was a single man living rent-free. And I was working 3 jobs, making over $40,000. You know, so I came in here, man, like, you know, some people, you could tell when they're new. But me, I was like, I had some stuff going on, man. I had a car, a place to live, decent clothes. You know, I had a spiritual walk, man, but it was kind of like off track. Because somewhere, I got misdirected and misinformed. But I asked this brother to sponsor me, and he was no professional. He would just share his experience, strength, and hope. You know, and as we were going through the step work, he would like give me a spiritual principle. And he would give me out of something, some literature out of another spiritual book that I would read. And it kind of coincided, because the steps and the scriptures, I don't know if I can say that, but they kind of worked together. You know, and it just made sense to me. You know, it gave me something I could hold on to. I was grateful that I had him in my life at the time. Tradition 8 is very clear cut. It also says it's one of the simplest, most straightforward of the traditions. There's nothing special about it, but it's very precious to us. You know, Narcotics Anonymous has no superstars. It talks about the anonymity as well. You know, there are no big eyes, there are no little U's, there are no so important people in Narcotics Anonymous. You may want to hear one person share over another, but it don't mean their message is more powerful than another. You know, I've heard an addict share their, raise their hand, say their name, and start crying. And that's some of the most powerful messages I've ever heard in a long time. You know, they were just grateful to be back. You know, I remember when this one sister came back, man, she looked so bad when she came back, that when I says, you know, welcome home, sister, you know, the room gasped, because they didn't know who that guy was until I said her name. They thought she was a guy. That's how bad she was beaten. You know. You know, she had a cast on. She was a mess. I was grateful she came back. You know, the ninth tradition talks about Narcotics Anonymous as such or never be organized, where we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. This is Narcotics Anonymous as such, a simple fellowship using non-professional, addict-to-addict approach to the disease of addiction. Our ultimate guiding authority is a higher power. Our fellowship does not require a certain degree of organization to fulfill its primary purpose, which is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Groups may organize separate boards and committees to serve these needs. Various home groups in my area have different events that go on from time to time. They have speaker jams, they have dances, they may give on a fashion show, they may give I know the Westchester area recently gave a Sadie Hawkins dance. You know, and I remember mentioning it to one addict. I says, you know, I always like the Sadie Hawkins dance because I have low self-esteem when I get on the dance floor. I just feel like I'm the only, one dancing who ain't got no pants on. Man, all eyes on me, I look stupid. Just no matter what you're doing, you just ain't doing it right. You know, so. But I always thought the Sadie Hawkins dance would free me of like asking somebody, then getting rejected, feeling the resentment, grabbing a book of matches and trying to throw matches on her and setting her on fire the rest of the night. Because see, that's what I did when I was using, man, because I could just say I was drunk or I was high at the time. You know, but they gave different groups organized themselves here in the Westchester area and in areas all over the world. And they sponsor events and they have service boards. They'll have a chairperson, a co-chairperson. And also this tradition talks about like not having a director. They talk about not having a chair, you know, a manager, a co-manager, that kind of thing. You have a chair, a co-chair, and we're all equal. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to remember that our anonymity makes us all equal. Our last name is Addicts, and all is all inclusive. You know, allowing us to concentrate on our similarities and not our differences. Mm-hmm. The traditions keep me from killing y'all. The steps keep me from killing me. You know, this has been a wonderful journey for myself. You know, I've always thought I could share ever since I had 2 years clean. A day at a time, I've accumulated 5,143 days. You know, that's a little over 14 years. And I've been grateful, man. You know, this process has done some amazing, amazing things for me. You know, I've got involved with a wonderful woman, man, had a wonderful child, and I was hustling and bustling her earlier today. She's in a college-bound junior bowlers league. You know, where she bowls every week, and then she goes to tournaments like every 3 months, and every person that goes to the tournament gets some prize money, and all the prize money is stored up into a pot, and when she graduates at the banquet, they cut her a check for whatever she's accumulated in her college-bound junior bowler's career. You know, and I've seen checks for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, and I already told her, I'm like, Jalen, you're 10 years old. I mean, you're 11 years old now. Daddy paid for tuition. You're paying for your own books. We'll work out a place for you to live. You know, and that's just I keep it just that simple, because that's how it was given to me. You know, my mother paid for my tuition. If I wanted to sleep somewhere, I had to pay for housing. You know, the foods I could get, she could play, was included with the tuition. It also says here in their works time why in tradition 9, sooner or later the groups realize the potential they have in this committee or committee of representatives. Through this committee, the groups can combine their guidance and resources, though each of them can function more effectively and all together can carry the message farther. The groups may ask their committee to buy bulk supplies of literature, make it easier for groups to procure NA books and pamphlets. The groups might ask their committee to compile a directory for distribution at meetings throughout the area, making it easier for acts to find out where the NA meetings are held. The groups may ask public information, hospitals, institutions, and phone line programs to be set up, letting still suffering addicts who might not hear the NA by word or mouth know of the fellowship's existence, increasing general awareness of Narcotics Anonymous. The point is, development of these services is based squarely on the group's needs, because the most powerful vehicle of carrying the message in Narcotics is the Narcotics Anonymous group. You know, Narcotics Anonymous is one of the few organizations that is fed from the bottom up. The addicts feed the group. Like the brother that shared earlier on the sixth and seventh step, talked about our dollar in the basket. I still feel put a dollar in the basket, but I religiously put a dollar in the basket, and it hurts me and it pains me when I do not put a dollar in the basket. And the people that I sponsor, the man and the young lady that I sponsor, I encourage them to put quiet money in the basket, because I need this meeting. I need to keep staying clean. I need to keep showing up. I need to keep recovering, because like my sponsor today has told me that the evidence of how I work my program is how I deal with my family, because my family knows my disease. They know where my triggers are. They know how to push my buttons. You know, the brother that shared earlier on the eighth and ninth step talked about his aunts, man. They're like, they can just say a word to you. Oh, I remember when you wasn't. You see, that always brings us back. You know, but like we talk about now, how you like me now. You know, and it says at the end of our first step, it's not where we are that counts, but where we're going. You know, this is a journey. It is a joyful journey. I've had some bumps in the road early in my recovery, so I've been able to withstand the test of time. I remember my first year, my dog died, my car died, and my sponsor went out in a month. You know, the second year, my grandmother was called to glory. My third year, I had a child. My fourth year, my mother was called to glory. And just like the previous brother talked about, man, I was a mama's boy. You know, I mean, when I would say I was a mama's boy, my father was called to glory when I was 11. It was just me and her, and she still worked for the government, so I had, like, all my financial needs was met. But there was a lot of emotional things that was missing. There was some man stuff that I just didn't learn right away. I didn't learn it correctly sometimes. I was misinformed by the misinformed, you know. But I came into Narcotics Anonymous, and I got some brothers in my life. You know, I was taught when I first came around that you can have more than one home group, just like you have more than one spot. My home groups is Monday Night Miracles at the beautiful Greater Centennial AME Zion Church in Mount Vernon, but also have a men's meeting I go to in Mount Vernon called Men in Grace. You know, I'm also involved in a men's meeting in New Rochelle called A Few Good Men, and that's where the boys come to men. You know, they don't allow my X-rated language. They don't allow my already exaggerations, you know, and gyrations of the things I might want to do or how I do. They don't allow it. They says, listen, man talk. You know, they have helped me try to become a better man. But in that process of me becoming a better man, I've become a better father. You know, I'm a responsible, productive member of society as far as fatherhood. You know, I pay my child support on time. We don't argue about it. We discuss it, but we don't argue about it. We never had nobody intervene about it. You know, we may come up with a mouth. She likes it, I like it. She don't like it, I don't like it. You know, she's like, she just took a cut, matter of fact. And I need to share that too. I'm going to put that on the worldwide. She just took a cut. Because our little girl goes to private school and we've decided to send her to a more expensive place. So mommy had to chip in. So she had a little cut. Now she doesn't like it. And it's still boiling in her belly. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I can show up and clean up my side of the street. I'm grateful, man, that like I'm still allowing myself to grow. And as things turn get better and I get better, I will continue to get her back to the level that she's more comfortable with. But right now we're all struggling. You know, our message is hope, and our promise is freedom. You know, Narcotics Anonymous has given me a higher power, man, and like I try to call my higher power the way, because he has truly made a way out of no way. You know, and our Narcotics Anonymous literature talks about, as long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. You know, and our primary purpose is to carry a clear Narcotics Anonymous message that any addict, can stop using, lose a desire to use, and find a new way to live. You know, I'm grateful once again that Westchester Area Convention of Narcotics Anonymous, the power and the people have brought together me and have asked me to humble myself and carry a message of hope to you people. I am so grateful to Narcotics Anonymous. He's given me something that my higher power has promised in his book. He has promised me life and life more abundant. You know, beyond my wildest dreams, I am blessed to be right where I'm at, in spite of my own best efforts, because God is still good and we are still here. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you, John. Okay, we'll close the meeting with the we version of the Serenity Prayer.